I'm Krista Bender, and you are listening to AV Power Up on Rave Radio.
Hi, I'm Corey Moss, CB Moss on Twitter, Corey, C-O-R-E-Y, Moss on all the other social media situations, and you are listening to AV Power Up on Rave Pubs Radio.
Hi, I'm Stacey Kringlin, at Vadios underscore Stacey, and you are listening to AV Power Up.
Hi, I'm Hope Roth, at Beer and Pie, and you are listening to AV Power Up.
Hey, my name's Johnny Moda. I follow you, just not on Twitter. This is AV Power Up.
Hello, hello. Hello, this is Rich Prevetti. Look for me at Hot Jobs Rich. Thank you, AV Power Up. And now, the moment you've all been waiting for, the AV version of Wonder Woman, Krista Bender. Take it away, Krista.
I was such a fan of Wonder Woman when I was a kid, so that is awesome, Rich. Thank you very much. Thank you for the listeners. Before we get to the guests, we got to go through the usual stuff. And we have two cool, really cool guests on tonight. But first, I want to thank our sponsor, which is Ingram Micro. Visit ingrammicro.com to find out how they can help you with your AV and IT needs. With over 40 locations throughout the world, they can help you with whatever it is that you need. So that's ingrammicro.com. And Rich has a few listeners that he wants to give a shout out to.
Hey, yes, I want to say at Corlett underscore Jake. Jake, thanks for listening. And moving right along, we have at Heather Eleanor. Thanks, Heather, for listening. It's very kind of you. And last but not least, we have at Mrs. M. Shimizu. Michelle, thank you very much for listening. Everybody, keep your dials tuned in. Krista, back to you.
Rich, you need to practice more.
Yes.
you need to learn the English language, Rich. Come on. Nah. I'm too old for this.
Maybe go back to using the WWWs.
So I want to take a quick moment from laughing my face off at Rich to having a really quick serious moment, because we had a few people in the industry pass suddenly or unexpectedly in the past couple of weeks. So I just wanted to recognize and acknowledge and extend our sympathies from the AV Power Up team to the friends and family of the following people. One is Grant Stewart from Stewart Film Screen. One is Mackie Barron of HM Communications. And one is Michael Parkhill of New Tech. So we are sorry to hear of these folks passing, and again, extend our deepest sympathy to everyone who knew them. So now we get to move on to the guests of the show, and you probably know each and every one of these people. The first is TJ Adams from QSC. Hi, TJ.
Hey, Krista. Glad to be on tonight. Thanks.
Hey, and the next one is Leonard Susskind from Shen Milson Wilkie, who has a tale tonight. Hi, Leonard.
Hello, and thank you for having me, and the tale just wandered away with the cat to which it was attached.
He actually came into the podcast, and there was a little tail behind him and nothing else, so it was a little interesting, to say the least.
So we have a couple of different topics we want to talk about tonight. One is that, TJ, how do you feel about certification in general? You know, good thing, bad thing? Do you like to get certifications? Do you think it's good for the industry? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I do believe in certification. I mean, I assume you're talking specifically about the CTS, but, you know, in that whole lineup, you know, CTSD and CTSI. And I think it is important, especially for us as a industry, to have some credible organizations like that, that at least give some form of baseline for our talent, especially when we go into an end user and speak with them, that it's something that, so again, it's a baseline. And in my professional product management, I also believe in that, you know, as far as, you know, making sure that when you're in a group of folks, that it does give you, again, a baseline credibility. So yeah, I'm a big believer in it.
What about you, Leonard? I'm sure as from a consultant end, that it's probably written into most, if not all, of your specifications that you probably want certain vendors or dealers to have, or system integrators to have certifications, whether it's a CTS and or it could be specific to a manufacturer depending upon the project.
Absolutely. We always require not only CTS, but dash I for lead installation personnel and dash D for lead engineering personnel. That's a given, and that I see as important. I see it as if I see a contractor who does not have CTSs for all or most of their people, or they're largely expired, which I have seen bid responses with CTS data pulled out of Infocom and the expiration dates have all passed. That speaks to somebody who's not really trying and not keeping up.
Is that something that you regularly look at, Leonard? Because sometimes, you know, from an integration side, you know, we cross our I's, dot our T's, strike it, reverse it, and we put all that information down and, you know, we do it. I like to say I do it from a truthful manner that whoever we're putting down has the certifications that are required. But do you actually look that and cross-reference that and say, hey, who's this Krista Bender chick? Does she really have these certs? You know, or do you just take it for granted?
For the most time, if I'm working with a known entity that I have worked with before that I trust to have it, if they give me a printout or screen capture from Infocom search tool, I personally am not always going to cross-reference and follow up on them with that, unless there's some reason to. Should I? Possibly, but I've never caught anybody lying about it yet. And I have caught people saying either, yeah, we don't have that, or yeah, here's our list, and some of them are expired or expiring. Manufacturer certification is an interesting side note to that. I don't publish or advertise my manufacturer certs. I have a couple of them. I see that as very important, specific project-wise. Yes, I've worked with Crestron, Extron, Barco, et cetera, but I don't see it as being the same kind of broad, industry-wide, you should take us seriously kind of thing that something more broad like a CTS is.
Hey Leonard, focusing on CTS, and it's something I do need to get to. There's a lot been going on lately, as we know, around the environment with CTS. And one thing I did have to mention about the show is that the past 2 weeks you have not heard Chuck. And the reason being is because Chuck has left the show at this point, and reasons I won't go into. You know, but let's just say a lot of things have happened lately that did have a certain effect. And, you know, like I said, Chuck's been doing this show and more for a long time. You know,
I'll give you the reason, Leonard. I fired his ass because he deleted our Infocom show. Kidding, Chuck.
Yeah, well, okay, then, you know, I didn't know about that, so, okay, but anyway, you know, it's, you know, all I can say is wishing Chuck the best of luck. Infocom has a tremendous asset, and Chuck Espinosa, as well as all the other great people who work there. You know, you got Brad Grimes, you got all the other wonderful people at Infocom. People who are really invested in certifications and education, Leonard and TJ as well. So, you know, back to you with that, Leonard. You wrote a great blog recently in defense of CTS, and that on top of others. Talk about the blog, talk about why you wrote it, and talk about what that meant to you.
Well, first of all, there's been some chatter about, and some of it came from Mark Coxon on Rave Pubs about renewal rates, about possibly there not being enough certifications. And it's things that's easy to talk about, and maybe even resonate a little bit if you don't think about it that deeply. But I see a lot of value in it, and I see it, and I am guilty of this too. It's much easier to toss bricks, and we as people are more likely to toss bricks than to say, yeah, this is something into which a lot has been put, and it really works in some ways, and it's moving in a direction to work more and to work even better. Again, CTS and dash I and dash D are things for which I really look. And it meant something to me to earn my CTSD and to say, yeah, I am an AV designer. I can back that up that I am. I can prove that I am. And the other thing I wanted to answer is, once the topic was brought up, there was chatter about, do we need more certifications? And do we need a CTS network certification and a CTS PM certification? And there is a new certification out, it's APEX, which is a much broader thing, and it's different than something Infocom's done before. And I also wanted to say that I possibly in this case think that these guys know what they're doing. I would be very wary of an AV CTS network certification at this time that I feel would make us seem junior level to actual network certification people. And I expect CTS to continue to change. I took the CTS plane test, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. Most of the questions about it, on it, were about analog video formats and what are the codes for S video and composite video and component video. And nobody knows or cares about that as much anymore. I'm sure that the CTS today asks about EDID and TMDS and packet switching. And the one tomorrow is going to ask more about network stuff and still touch on project deliverables and project lifecycle and project management. So I think it's important to acknowledge what we have. Maybe where it can improve in continuing to educate people in the larger world outside of AV about them. You, Krista, said that, and correctly, this is something that I look for in the consultant world in a specification, that we will say, yes, have a CTSI if you're the lead installer, have the CTSD for the designer, everybody should have a CTS. The next thing, and this is partly all of our job, my job as a professional interacting with them, is to let the people in the larger A&E world and in the larger consumer world know, yeah, this is here, and this is, as TJ, I think, said, a baseline. And this is something that says, yeah, this person is a professional, has put at least so much into continuing education on it, knows something about it.
Hey, Rich. So even though you're without your CTS currently, I consider you a professional. So do you have any updates on your quest for a CTS?
Yes, I touched briefly on it last week, but I've changed up my study habit. I recently got my own copy of the second edition of the CTS manual, and I plan to dive into that daily. I did a lot. My previous attempts at studying were mostly online. So I'm going to use this book and just see if I can stir up some old school study habits. I wish I would have passed it, because it would make my life. I'm actually going to be posting on an internal job, which I need a CTS for. So it's probably not going to happen, but CTS for me and all of my fellow level one techs is extremely important. And I was hanging on every word that you were saying, Leonard, moments ago, because it's very, very important. And for the newer people in the industry, it's critical. And I'm one of those people.
Hey, Rich, I'm going to go out to say that you are going to pass it on the next round, so there is no worry there. With the right study habits and you know the task at hand, I believe you are, and I believe everybody here believes you're going to pass it. And everybody involved, of course, with the help that's available and, you know, with Krista and Hope and all they're doing, as well as others, there are resources. So, you know, we know that for a fact. People like Leonard out there and the serious attention they pay to it. And, of course, all the people at Infocom and mentioning Chuck again and all that he does. There is so much out there in the industry right now for certification, the education. Believe me, I don't know where you can look in this industry now without finding it. So you will pass it, Rich, trust me. And we're going to get to TJ, but talking about the network certification too, Leonard, you saw how I weighed on that as well. There is more than enough available in the IT industry in certifications for networking. And we talked about BXI, and you've got CompTIA. The industry doesn't need to implement any type of CTS certifications or designations, as far as I'm concerned, for that. I think what we have is enough.
What I would want to say, and something else that I for which we should be looking on projects, is actual network certifications.
Mm-hmm.
And increasingly, there are projects where it's appropriate to want somebody on staff for the contractor to have a CCNA, perhaps, or similar. And those are real certifications, and there's real work to getting those. I don't know how people outside of the industry would look at us if we go to talk to the IT person, and the IT person has a network certification, and we have network for AV.
Leonard, I agree with you on that. I think, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. The delay on the line. Keep going. Sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead. I was just going to say that I think that that doesn't engender respect, which may or may not have been where you were going.
No, that's exactly where I was going. I think as an ex-IT professional, or I'd just say a former in this case, and also just saying from, you know, manufacturer side, like all of our QSIS support folks have to have a CCNA, because frankly, when you're moving outside of layer two on a network, you have to understand routing and you have to understand IGMP and you have to understand quality of service. And all of those factors are things that, you know, from a design perspective for a consultant or an integrator to execute on that design are very important these days, especially as you see products that are layer three and above, like QSIS or even SVSI, for instance, and products like that. So I was just going to chime in and say, yeah, that's a super important piece. Although it would be interesting to me to see if Infocom were to try a adjacency to it, a certification that was more or less the AV nuances to networks, because we see that a lot with QSIS being installed, you know, at ball stadiums like the Broncos here in Denver, or, you know, 49ers. There's another one out in San Francisco that we work with the IT folks, and many of them, quite frankly, although experts at a data network, they really don't have the skills or expertise of a media network. And there is a difference as far as real-time requirements of that packet delivery. And so we often struggle with trying to convey to them, hey, we're not trying to put your IT knowledge down or your network engineering knowledge down, but listen, there's a wider world than just a data network. And so it would be interesting to see if, you know, folks like SVSI and ourselves and a few others out there that are transmitting media and high bandwidth media in real time on a network wouldn't want to try to educate some sensibilities into a certification that would help the integrator communicate better with IT folks on the network side, especially, and help convey to them and communicate and educate them on some of the outliers that they weren't given training for in their CCNA or CCIE certification.
To me, where that knowledge belongs is broadly, that knowledge belongs in the existing CTS, CTS-D, maybe to a lesser extent -I. the same way that basic project management principles belong there.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, that's a good point.
And CTS asks project management. It asks when submittals are delivered and what comes first. You know, this project phase or that project phase. As a designer, I don't need to know how to configure a network so that the IGMP, the QoS, and all of the other pieces exist correctly. I don't need to know how to set up VLANs. I don't even really need to know how to do the subnetting math. I need to know that those things exist, and I need to know what they are well enough to be able to communicate to an IT professional who does know them well enough and say, yes, we need this, and we have this many streams with this much bandwidth that have to be multicast, that have this latency requirement, et cetera, et cetera. I think that those are things that we, as we move forward, are going to be as basic for all of us to know as what HTTP is or what HDMI is.
Hey, Johnny. I'm going to cut you off, TJ, because I want to switch gears. Johnny, what do you have for stuff and things for us?
Sure. First, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
No robot? No
Not
record
yet.
Player from the past?
Nope.
Can you do robot?
Oh, there's an app for that, but I didn't. Yeah, Leonard's got it.
Oh, God.
Some of that, right? You couldn't see it, but I was going robot mode. I just want to make sure we're clear here. I got stuff and things, but I want to ask a quick question on certifications and stuff. In terms of certs and stuff, do you feel that the larger CTS is probably some of the most important stuff? Like, Leonard, you said, you know, some of the other stuff that, you know, manufacturer certs, you know, it's great, but you don't really advertise them. I mean, like for me, the only stuff that I ever tell people is I'm a slayer of grilled cheese sandwiches, but that's about it. You know, I don't broadcast other stuff really. You know, it's great to know what, you know, AB, you know, IT, maybe you're certified from brand X manufacturer of automation or whatever it is you do, but the larger important certs through CTS I or D or now with Apex probably, you know, is really good. And that probably correlates with your respective fields in the industry. But some of those manufacturer certs, you know, it's good to have them, but you're not really telling people, you know, I'm certified in washing machines, right?
I would tend to be really strident about requiring certs from like things like the big control manufacturers or things that are particularly complicated. If it's an HD-based T switching system and somebody doesn't have the Extron XTP certification or the Crestron DM certification, it doesn't mean as much. I also don't advertise them because I work for a consultant and I work for a technology neutral consultant. So I don't want to give the impression that I'm shading my designs one direction or another because I got flown to Beaverton for BIAMP school and I did not get flown to wherever QSC headquarters is for QSIS school. So if you're in the hands-on installation contracting side, those are at least a little bit more important than they are to me.
Okay, that makes sense. So Slayer of grilled cheese sandwiches is not as important as CTSI, noted.
Well, it depends on what you're trying to get done, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It could be key for certain situations, you know.
And if they're fancy grilled cheese sandwiches with imported cheese and avocado and bacon and stuff.
They're custom grilled cheese sandwiches. They're the best, right?
Wow. I mean, if you have a programmer on staff that happens to get hangry a lot, it might actually be more useful.
You tried to switch gears, but it didn't. So I'm going to make my quick point.
All right. Actually, before that, I'm going to make an announcement. I didn't have a grilled cheese sandwich until I was 20.
What?
What?
They were not a staple in my house.
I had one for lunch today.
There's nothing better than grilled cheese and tomato soup. That's all I'll say.
I want to hear what TJ has to say, but then I want to hear a story about grilled cheese sandwiches from TJ.
And I'll make it really quick. I think from a manufacturer, since I am the only manufacturer, I think, on the line at the moment, I will say that manufacturer certifications are really important for the manufacturer, because we want to make sure that the customer experience, and that customer means the integrator, the consultant, and the final end user buyer, plus the end user themselves. So the person coming to the boardroom or what have you and logging into that system, we want to make sure that that experience is clean and well managed. And so from a certification perspective, that's why we require them for any QSIS dealer. And when I was at BuyUmp, it was the same way there. You know, it's just really important to, again, give that baseline comfort level and expectation, I guess, that this individual or company in particular has the skill set to complete a project in that way. So that's all I'll leave it at.
I agree with TJ because, right, if you're the installer, you're the designer, you're the person specifying products from a manufacturer on a project or multiple projects with multiple manufacturers, whatever it is, and you're just pretending that you know what you're doing, it's probably pretty dangerous to be doing that, because when it doesn't work, whose fault is it, right? It's your fault. If you're just faking the funk, that's not cool, man. I mean, it's great that manufacturers have certs for their products. I think that's very important. Now, whether or not other people feel that higher certs for a broader range of product is more important than the manufacturer certs, that's a whole different conversation, but it's probably really good that a manufacturer has certifications. You know, if you're going to spec our product, you're going to install our product, you're going to install our product, integrate it, whatever it is, any and all of those, it's probably pretty damn good that you know what you're doing.
Well, I think that not all of the manufacturer certs are created equal. I mean, I have some certs that I literally just like put a webinar on in the background while I did my real job and then answered some very easy to figure out true or false questions at the end, and boom, I got a little certificate to print out and put on my cubicle. And then I'm not going to say this. I'm a Crestron certified programmer. And that took me like 100 hours to do all the code for. So, you know, and there's everything in between. I mean, Crestron offers certifications that I've watched a webinar for. And so I think some of it is that you have to know your certifications. You know, I can see somebody's certifications and be like, oh yeah, I have that one too. That one was pretty tricky. Or, oh, I have that one, you know, or I don't have that one. I don't know what that means. So I think the manufacturer certifications, because they're not being sort of managed by a central body, are very sort of hit or miss in terms of what actually shows a level of knowledge. I think they are great if you know what they are. I think it's great to demonstrate that you know the products that you're installing. I wish that more of the manufacturers would look me up in their system when I call for tech support and stop trying to talk down to me. But I think the big ones are the ones that will help out. And you know, Rich, we sort of moved on pretty quick when we were talking before, but I think it's really great that you're sharing your story and your sort of journey towards the CTS with everyone, because I know quite a few people who haven't wanted to take the CTS because they're worried that they might not pass. And I think it's really great that you can say, yeah, I took it. It's hard. I didn't make it, but I'm going to get there and I'm going to study. And I think that's really great for people who might be nervous about taking it. You know, you might not pass. It's okay. You'll take it again. It is actually a pretty tough test if you don't know some of the math. It's not something that you can just, you know, brush up on Ohm's law and then go in and take. Well, some people could. If you've been in the industry for like 20 years, I would expect that you should probably be able to just go in and do it. But, you know, I'd been in the industry for like 6 or 7 years and I still had to study when I took mine. So
I would add, that the fact that not everybody passes, and to go to one of the points that was debated online in the blogosphere, the fact that not everybody renews, are positives, because that means it's not a rubber stamp. It is not the 1-hour webinar that you put through in the background and then Google the answers to the true false test in a browser window. It's something real, and something real has to come with a risk of failure, and it has to be some effort, and it can't be an automatic success.
You know, that's a great point, Leonard. I have to say, talking about Chuck again, you look at, and anybody who is friends with Chuck on Facebook, if you're not, be friends with Chuck Espinoza, see what he does at Infocom with the design boot camps. I tell you, he puts people through the ringer. It is not an easy process whatsoever to get through those. And, you know, hope you talk about your 100 hour or your webinar, you know, certs, what have you. But Rich, I think Leonard's absolutely right in that it proves that it is not something you just take and you pass. And I got to tell you, even for your benefit, Rich, I can only believe there are a whole lot of people out there who have been in the same boat. And, you know, and I must say, I think they possibly even look up to the situation, Rich, where they say, hey, listen, we're trying to. You know, and there's Rich Privetti, he's trying to get it done, and, you know, there's a lot of respect for that, too. So, like Hope said, your journey is very important, and it's going to continue here on the show, and, you know, you'll keep updating us and, you know, giving us tips on that as well. So, we're going to continue to look forward to it, Rich.
The I'm in my probation period, I guess, so my waiting period right now. I'm eligible to take it again in January. I think it's January 16th of next year, 2016. So
good.
I will. I have a short road, a short time, but it's gonna be fun. And Leonard, I agree with you. I've taken some manufacturers. Training just to get my mind, keep it in the learning curve, keep it in the learning mode. And some of them, like Hope said, are just kind of real easy, and some were a little bit tricky, but I'm going to wear my CTS banner proudly as soon as I get it. And you're going to all hear me screaming from different parts of the country. Trust me.
And you might hear me squeal with delight because that finally happened and I don't have to cut Rich out of my life. So, TJ, what's your favorite color?
Blue.
Good. I hear that you wrote a blog recently. Do you want to explain a little bit more about that?
Oh, why not? So... I guess the reason I wrote that, and actually I wrote an article a few weeks or months, I can't remember which, back, was that in my travels in the AV space since I joined it and came from the IT space, I have been slightly wearing on my patience, I guess, as far as how we in the AV space talk about IT folks. Because it seems that, and I guess it's a reasonable reason why we talk about this, but we always talk about IT and we immediately mention a network, right? You know, it's always we resort to that, and I think it's because my opinion here is that it's because we think of cables and ports and connectors and the hardware side mostly in the AV space because that's where, frankly, the roots are. But for IT, that's a far less monoculture, I guess. It's IT folks, they don't all identify as network engineers, okay? In fact, you know, probably the vast majority of them are applications folks or desktop support or, you know, database engineers or, frankly, even software developers who fall into that category of who the IT customer and the IT buyer is. And so I thought, why not take a shot at trying to help us, now that I'm firmly and committed into the AV space, help us realize that a little more clearly, that let's not define our customer and our buyer, who is becoming more and more important to the AV integrator and the manufacturer, that there is more than what meets the eye there. And so it's important for us to broaden our horizons and think more about application spaces, and that's why you hear me talking at Infocom with Corey, and then also I guess beating that drum a little bit over that blog of, hey, think of your IT customer as just like any other customer. It's not one size fits all. It's, and to be effective at selling and effective at communicating to your customer, you have to understand them better. And so I'm trying to sort of lead that charge a little bit. And that's for the benefit of hopefully the whole industry, not just QSC, that we have to mature in that way and refine our understanding of who that customer type is. So that's really the motivation behind writing that. And you'll see more of that from me over the next few months, I'm sure.
So TJ, as we talked about at Infocom during the interview and we came up with the It's Not About the Box, and yes, I do have to give Kristen partial credit to that too, but you came up with a further statement to that, It's Not About the Box.
Yeah, exactly, right? I guess so. So yeah, it's not just about the network in this case.
Yeah, so, but you said it's about the app too. And, you know, and talking about your solution and all, it's a bold statement. And I'm going to have to say, we're going to call it, TJ, you have solved convergence. Okay, that's it.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, well, so here on AV Power Up.
Follow up on that, it's not about the box, it's about the app piece that I saw today published on LinkedIn. First of all, I agree. It's not about the box anymore. What you're selling is software. It's an application. It's a solution. It's not a box. That said, why do people still have to buy it in a box? I am waiting for the box to go away.
Well, let's talk about that. So the idea that, well, shamelessly, what QSIS is just a software application, right? I mean, it could be shrink wrap software. And so,
and QSIS
very soon
is, by the way, the first DSP platform about which I think that we can say that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you've seen that change happen in like the DAW world, you know, and you know, it used to be just, you know, recording interfaces, and then it became more software with Pro Tools and all that. So I think we're the first to get there. But I really firmly believe the rest of the DSP world will get there because it just makes sense, you know. And so I think we just happen to be a little bit ahead at the moment. But I don't want to gloat about that or say that's the way it makes us, you know, better than anybody else. But it really
go
just
ahead,
comes
gloat,
down to
you've earned it.
Well, I appreciate that. Well, frankly, my peers at QSC who used to be with Peak Audio really are the ones that invented that. So I have to give credit to where it's due. I just happen to be privileged enough to come along, and that's been a vision I've had personally for a lot of years, is why can't we do it? Just like Leonard said, why can't we just do this without a box, period? Unfortunately, the technical realities of the world we live in today, there will likely always be some box, even if it's generic cheap I/O, so analog I/O for a microphone or at least an amplifier. But I think that's going to change too. I think you see microphones coming on that are networked right to the drop, right to the device. And then, Yep. You know, you'll see amplifiers coming out that way. So you're right, Leonard. I think someday, like we're working on stuff that, you know, the QSIS cores, they could all run on an off-the-shelf Dell or HP server. Very easily. And so that's where you'll see us going over the next year or two is, you know, exactly that, you know, changing that game a little further towards the software only world. But it's hard on integrators and it's hard on end users. And frankly, it's hard on you guys in the consultant world.
It's just hard on some end users. It's not going to be hard on all of them. End users in the IT world.
It'll just be a dud.
You're not even going to sell them the software. You're going to sell them a license and have them pay a maintenance fee to you every year.
Right. And that hopefully, you know, it translates into the integrator space that, you know, imagine that cost of entry that's so high to go sell a project. I remember back, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, losing jobs for DSP to star phones, because frankly, the IT end user, even back then, was like, sorry, I don't have the budget. But if we would have gone in there and said, hey, you know, don't worry about the hardware cost. Here's a site license fee, and here's a annual or monthly even recurring fee. and you can add rooms as you'd like, suddenly two things happen. One, your cost of entry on pure dollars goes down. So it makes it easier to put DSP in a room that frankly needs it. And so the user isn't tempted to cheap out, frankly. And then the second thing is it moves it in their cost center to an OPEX versus a CAPEX. And so that's helpful too. And it's just a matter of working out the kinks, if you will, on how do you monetize that and charge for it and make it painless for the user, the true end user, and frankly, the integrators still make money and provide the valuable service they do. So that's what's got to get worked out, right? And so we're currently working towards that. That's our goal.
Well, I'm sorry, Leonard. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I look forward to seeing that. And the last QSIS system that I designed, it's going to be installed over the next month or so. We have maybe about a half a dozen rooms. We have one core. Everybody gets echo cancellation. Everybody gets audio conferencing. Everyone who needs it gets video conferencing. I don't think I have a single analog output connected on the core.
That's awesome.
And most of my inputs are networked. They are wireless mic systems with Dante. They're Dante break-in boxes. Or yep. They're USB break-in boxes. And they're networked amplifiers. Today at the NEC showcase a PoE networked amplifier. It doesn't even need a power wire. You just put a network wire to it and you only get 15 watts out of the thing, but sometimes that's all you need.
Well, think about speakers that way, you know?
Yeah.
It's not too far a stretch. I mean, and as switch density goes up and cost per port goes down, that becomes even more a reality. So yeah, I applaud you for embracing that. I mean, that's where I think the future is. I think it's all good for all of the industry, not just QST.
Hey, TJ, just to tie that up, the premise of, you know, software based on servers, HP Dell servers, I believe that is the true premise of AVIT convergence. Is the industry ready for that? I don't know. But I think you're hitting a nail on the head right here is where you talk about AVIT convergence. I think that's where we kind of look, but you know, does it go there? We have to wait and see. So I think that's great conversation, TJ. I really do. Krista, you got something going on here now?
I've got lots of things going on, but what I want to talk about next is I want to hear a power up. So I want to hear from Hopi.
Bloop, 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 bloop. I want to talk about asking questions and how we ask questions of our end users, because I was on a job site last week. I'm talking to someone about how they want the system to work, and I'm very quickly seeing that they are directly contradicting themselves. You know, I want that button to be blue, and then 30 seconds later, I want that button to be red. That's not actually what happened, but you know what I'm talking about. And I think a lot of us get into situations like that where you're talking to an end user and they say they want this, but then they want that. You can't have both. This doesn't make sense. And then I think at that point, you either need to go outside and hit your head against the wall for a few minutes, or you need to change how you're asking questions. And I've seen it a lot, especially when somebody else does the specifications that they asked. They asked technical questions. They asked how it's supposed to work questions, but they didn't ask the most important question of all, which is, why do you want it to do that? How do you use the space? So I have this guy. I'm talking to him. He's telling me he wants the sky to be green and the grass to be blue. It doesn't sound right. So I say, okay, why don't you show me your other room that we're not touching? Just show me what you do there. Okay, I hit this switch and the light comes on. I hit this switch and then the light goes to 50%. I hit this switch and, you know, the room rotates 90 degrees. Whoa, I need to get a switch like that. And all of a sudden, I'm able to program his system because I didn't ask him, what color do you want the sky to be? I asked him, you know, how he uses the sky, and that's how you get your answers. So that's my power up.
And I think you got a standing ovation there from Leonard Hope.
Yeah, well, consultants get paid because the rest of us are not very good at asking questions. So, and they go in and they, and a very good consultant will ask the right questions and they find out how a system is supposed to be used. So yeah.
What you just said is doing my job if I'm doing it correctly. And it should be all of our jobs and we should all know. And it should also be my job, by the way, to move that information downstream to you.
That's true, Leonard, but I think sometimes, and it's not the fault of the integrator or you, you will sometimes have a customer who changes their mind, and I've often heard my techs and programmers come back from the field saying, oh yeah, I was supposed to mount the display and everything over on that wall, and now it's on this wall. And, you know, because a lot of times they don't know what to do. They get stuck in a hard place instead of saying, stop, I need to call a project manager and, you know, we need to agree on this. A lot of times I've seen the people on site get cornered.
Or worse yet, the person whose opinion matters is not invited to all of the project meetings. And I have been at the end of the day when something's delivered and somebody says, no, this is not what I want. And it's somebody I've never seen before. I say, why did you do this? Because you guys told us to. Well, I didn't. So that's where, but Hope is 100% right. That's our job. That's what we do at the end of the day. And absent that, nothing that we're talking about with convergence or technical capabilities or anything else matters.
I think also when you get into a situation where somebody's making changes on you, I try to get all of that in writing, or I'll say to them, you know, my boss is a real stickler. He's not, but they don't know that, you know, can you put that in an email for me, please? I will forward it to someone, like, FYI, they want us to do that. Is that okay? You know, you get all of that in writing. And then the other thing that I do is if somebody asks for something super wacky, I make sure I document it. So I'll, you know, when I'm sending my recap at the end of the day, or I put it in my comments in my code, as I say, by the way, you know, they asked for green sky and blue grass. And I know it probably looks like I just, you know, messed that up and that I didn't test my code very well, but actually they're doing this experiment and, you know, that's what they need it for. So I think that's also an important component about that, is taking that knowledge that you get from asking those questions and then passing it on so that everybody else can doesn't have to repeat what you just went through.
And so
that's my power.
And sometimes I'm sorry.
I was just being silly. Go right ahead.
That is her power up, I tell you.
Sometimes if you tell somebody in writing or semi-formally what you're doing is a non-standard practice and not a best practice, I never want to tell somebody it's a bad idea, even if it is. Sometimes they just back away from it. And sometimes they'll look at it and say, yeah, you know, you're right. Or sometimes they'll give me a reason that I hadn't thought of, and I'll walk away and say, you know what? The sky should be green this time. Enjoy. And I'll give them a green sky and I'll feel good about it.
All right, Corey, what do you have? I know you want to talk. You look like you're, you know, sitting there like you have to go to the bathroom, and I know that's not the case.
No, I don't have to talk either, but now that you asked, sure, I'll go ahead. So, I got a couple of things here. But first, Infocom International just put something out the other day called Winning with CTS, heading to CTSI, and the winning is WINNING. And of course, there is the wonderful Hope Roth in the picture there. And Hope, you said something about the picture, but I got to say that is true. Hope Roth next to the ladder, installation, CTSI next. It says it all. It really does. And we have three wonderful Wynn women here. We have Krista, we have Hope, and Stacy Kringland, Vadio Stacy, and a Wynn in training. That's a little Natalie. She's there too. Look at her. I don't know what she's doing.
She's coloring.
Oh, she's coloring. Okay. That's nice. Yeah.
She's got a little vampire teeth in.
Yeah.
She did have the vampire
teeth. She had vampire teeth. I was scared.
Tell her not to be like my customers who are all-time vampires.
No.
Really, you're scaring Johnny tremendously by doing that. No, it was a great article put out by Infocom International with Hope talking about that, her background. And Hope, you know, they were talking CTSD. Although Mr. Chuck Espinoza, to mention him again, CTSD, CTSI, former chair of Infocom Certification Committee and a current Infocom instructor, said to Hope she should get her CTSI because, what did he say, Hope?
Because it's super badass.
Super badass. That's right. That's right. So, Hope Roth, we can't wait to see that CTSI denomination next to your name, along with Rich's CTS. So, there we go. So, what I am here to talk about tonight is a couple of things. First of all, my latest, the AVEdge Social Selling and Marketing. This is something that I did with Krista, as well as Penny Sittler of Draper, and I said in this, whom I consider one of the very best industry marketing people, as well as George Fournier of FSR. And so there's a little write-up here, and we did a recording, I don't remember how long it was ago, Krista, about a month back or so, I think.
Yeah, I think so. It seems like it was. It was a month ago, let's say.
Okay. And, you know, we did it, and I talked a little to Krista, I talked a little to George, a little to Penny about it, and, you know, I wasn't too sure. I was hoping to make it a radio podcast, but I kind of left it on the shelf a little, and then finally decided the other day, and I guess much to everybody's surprise involved, to put it out on Rave as a blog, or Bacon, excuse me. I think that's minus 10 for me. And there it is. It's about 53 minutes long, I think. And what we did was talk about social selling and marketing. It was great conversation. And George, you know, what I said here is that even though George is a sales engineer while Penny is marketing, he did bring great perspectives on the side of social selling and marketing as well. And I actually did want that from George because I do watch what he does out there on social media. So, again, George, fantastic. Penny, of course, your terrific perspectives in marketing. Thank you so much for participating. And it's now my decision whether to actually bring it out as a podcast show on a regular basis. It's something I am going to think about. I'll probably consult my partner in crime, Krista Bender, on this as well. So, you know, we shall see. What do you think about it, Krista? Was it good?
Yeah, it was good. It was everything I wanted it to be and more. It was awesome. I had a good time. I think I would do it again.
Okay. All right, well, then we shall talk, and if it does come out, it's going to probably be early 2016, as, you know, right now, the podcast that we have, AV Power Up, Tech Exchange, Johnny and I did The Week. It went out extraordinarily well. Another one is coming, and then another one after that is planned, so that's reality right now. So, that is that. So, Krista, I will go right to the PSA. And we've been talking about No Shade November. So, anybody watching me now, at least on our podcast, sees that I am growing the beard. And it is going to grow. I don't think I can ever do a Chuck beard. I don't think that's possible. I don't think I can take it for that long.
But not with that attitude, no.
What about you, Johnny? You think you're going to be able to grow a beard?
I could grow Chuck's beard today if I had to.
Johnny, if you could do a Chuck beard, you know, we all want to see that picture. Okay.
Nobody wants to see that picture. Does not go well.
No, I can't imagine, actually. But No Shave November is labeled as a unique way to grow cancer awareness. It's no-shave.org. Their mission, No Shade November, is a web-based nonprofit organization devoted to growing cancer awareness, and they say growing in bold, cancer awareness and raising funds to support cancer prevention, research, and education. It goes on to describe what No Shave November is. You can participate in numerous ways. You can give, obviously. You can organize teams. You can do a whole lot of things to support the cause. The funded programs, the American Cancer Society, Prevent Cancer Foundation, Fight Colorectal Cancer, and the St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Many ways to spread the word on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. There's a flyer to download. There's No Shave November apparel, bracelets. I think I even saw AEO was selling a shirt. So a whole lot of ways to give through No Shave November. And I, for one, plan on growing this thing. I don't think I've ever grown a beard for a full month, so this should be interesting, to say the least. Rich, we'll leave you with your mustache, I guess.
I'm just going to make it a tad more elaborate.
Well, I hear it's also Movember, so, you know, you can do Movember, and I'll do No Shave November. How's that sound?
All right, that works.
Rich has one of the best mustaches ever. It's like some hockey player we were watching sometime, right? Right, Rich?
He looks like a hockey player.
Well, mustache. That's a story that I got to tell offline, so you know what? I'll tell that next week when we're at the
Okay.
Hey, Rich, what you got for hot jobs?
I have the most amazing hot jobs this week. I want to let you know. I want you to go to tierpm.com. It's 11 keystrokes and 2 mouse clicks, and you will be on this amazing section that it's super easiest website job search engine to look up a job. It's the best. And you go there, and you'll find this job number 410, lead AV design engineer, located in Daytona Beach, Florida. This job is seeking an experienced senior audio visual design engineer to lead a team of more junior AV design engineers tasked to design audio visual commercial integration solutions for clients nationwide. The ideal candidate will have at least 4 to 5 years of experience and be highly skilled in the design and commissioning of audio visual, video, and video conferencing solutions in the audio visual commercial integration industry. Job number 410, lead AV design engineer, Daytona Beach, Florida. Now, here's 2 really cool jobs for those people that like to work from home. Get a pen. Job 416 and job 417. They are both work from home positions. Job 416 is a really great job description. You must live within 40 miles of a major airport, because you're going to be doing a little bit of traveling with this job. Job 417, this is really, really awesome for us East Coast people. You must live anywhere between New York City and Philadelphia. So maybe the Poconos, maybe Jersey, Philadelphia. The job description is as follows. The ideal candidate must have at least 3 to 4 years of experience and will be highly skilled in the design, install, and troubleshooting of advanced professional audio, video, and video conferencing solutions in the audiovisual commercial integration industry. CTS and DMC or similar certifications are nice to have. Once again, job 416 and 417, work from home positions as a AV design engineer. Check it out. 11 keystrokes and 2 mouse clicks, and you'll find your own job. Krista, back to you.
That's amazing.
I love that. 11 keystrokes. I've not counted a keystroke for anything in my life.
Wow.
How do you not have your CTS, Rich?
Yeah, really, Rich.
That level of detail is absurd. So I want to take the opportunity to thank Leonard and to thank TJ for being guests on our show tonight. Thank you guys very much. And Cricket Chirping. Okay, good. I thought you left me already.
Always absolutely a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I want to say that this is it. So thanks for listening to the show. On behalf of Stacey Kringlin, Hope Roth, Johnny Moda, Rich Pervetti, Corey Moss, and me, Krista Bender, thanks for listening to AV Power Up.
Yes, thank you everybody for listening. Leonard, TJ, again, thank you both very much for joining us tonight. Really appreciate it for everybody involved. And for Natalie. Hi, Natalie. Can she hear us? Okay. Bye, say Natalie.
Bye.
Oh, there she is.
Okay. Say bye.
Natalie
says bye. And thank you all for listening, and we will see you next time.